Once again, it's time for the pastor's study. This is Brother Gino. Last time we were together, we began a study that was entitled, What Sort of Mind Have You? What Sort of Mind Have You? And the aim of our study is to monitor our mental state so that we have the right mind to stay in fellowship with God and each other and to serve God effectively. And we saw how really the mind, or the battlefield, is really between our ears, the mind. And that's where Satan wants to infiltrate and take control of. Amen. And get in there and keep us from serving God. Amen. And last time we were together, we looked at the types of bad minds to avoid. We looked at several things. What we want to do today on the pastor's study, as we continue our study on what sort of mind have you, is we want to look at the types of a good mind that you and I as Christians should aim for. I begin with a question today. How does God describe your mind? The following scriptures describe how the Spirit-filled believer thinks. Which of these minds describe your thinking? We begin with one of the types of a good mind is we see in Nehemiah. In chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, the people had a mind to work. As Christians, we need to have a mind to work. Amen. Look at what it says with me in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4 and verse 6. We read, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And because the people had a mind to work, the wall of Jerusalem was rebuilt in spite of much opposition. Amen. You see, if believers have a mind to work for God, the results will be unity, great accomplishments, many people saved, churches built, and opposition overcome. Amen. Do you have a mind, my friend, a mind to work? Do you have a mind to study the Bible and work for God? If you don't, you should. So then, the first type of good mind that we need to have as Christians is a mind to work. The second type of good mind as Christians we should have is a mind that is stayed on God. A mind that is stayed on God. What do I mean by that? Well, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26. I have many favorite verses in the scriptures, but this is one of my favorites. And you'll see why. And I think if you and I exercise and put into practice what I'm about to read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, then we'll have a mind stayed on God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now the thou is God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. We're going to see here that God promises to keep you and I in perfect peace. But there's a condition on that promise. Let's finish the verse. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, if our mind is stayed on God and his promises, through all of life's trials, the Word of God promises we will be kept in perfect peace. So there's a correlation. if your life is troubled. Amen. There's a lot of turmoil in it. A lot of that can be avoided. Not all of it, but most of it. If you and I, if our minds would be stayed on the Lord and trust in Him. Amen. That's what we need. We need a mind that is stayed on God. Again, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So the moment, the instance, that you and I take our minds off the Lord and stop trusting in him, that's when we're going to run into trouble. That's when we're going to lose that perfect peace. Amen. Let's move on. A next type of good mind that you and I should have as Christians is a mind filled with hope. The mind filled with hope. Let's turn to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations. We know the weeping prophet, as he's often referred to, Jeremiah, not only under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote the book of Jeremiah, but he also wrote the Lamentations. And look in Lamentations chapter number 3, in verses 21 to 23. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Jeremiah says, because what he's about to say, amen, because he has recalled this, he's brought to his mind the things he's going to tell us. That's the reason for his hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And this is the reason that he has hope, and the reason that you and I can have a mind filled with hope. Listen, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So, Jeremiah tells you and I, if we recall these things to mind, we will have hope. What things do we need, amen, to recall? Well, first, the Lord's mercy, his mercies, plural, are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, great is God's faithfulness. And as a result of that, we're not consumed. And then we need to recall not only that, but his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. And then the Lord is my portion, or Jeremiah said in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is my portion, or inheritance. And then look at what he says in verses 25, 26, and 27. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So it's good to hope, quietly wait for deliverance, and bear the yoke in your youth. Amen. And to subvert a man in this cause, the Lord approveth not. Verse 36. To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. So if you and I as Christians would recall these things that Jeremiah mentioned in these verses, then we can have a mind filled with hope. You know, the Lord's mercies, as he said, they're new every morning. His compassion fail not. We are not consumed because of his mercies. In other words, you and I as sinners, deserved, after we die, to go to a lake of fire to burn for all eternity. But he shows us mercy. Amen. In other words, mercy is when we don't get something we deserve. We deserve to burn in hell for eternity, amen? That's what we deserve, but we're not getting it. Because God is rich in mercy, the scriptures tell us. He gave his only begotten Son to pay for the price of the sins of all of mankind. And all one has to do to avail himself of the mercies of God to avoid that lake of fire is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith into his heart, believing that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And there's nothing that an individual can do to save himself or earn his way into heaven. Jesus said, it is finished. There's nothing left to do. He did it all. Friend, if you're listening today and you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, I wish you would call on him today. And he's promised that all that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Again, today we're looking at the types of good minds that you and I as Christians should have. The fourth one we want to look at is pure minds. Minds, stirred up minds. In 2 Peter chapter 3 with me. So we're leaving Lamentations and we're going from the Old Testament into the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. Peter writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Amen. Now, the question is, how do we keep our mind pure? And the answer to that is, first of all, by taking heed to God's word. Not only reading it, amen, and studying it, but also obeying it. Amen. Doing what it says, putting into practice what it says. And then also by keeping rubbish out of our minds, lest our minds be defiled with sin. Avoid bad movies, bad literature, bad friends, bad places. And then second, how do we stir up our minds to God's work? The answer to that is be active in a strong, preaching, sin-rebuking, soul-winning church. Amen. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. Be it going door to door, knocking on doors at work, to your family and friends, but be a soul winner. That's how you can have a mind that's stirred up to do God's work. Now, another type of good mind that we should have as Christians is that we should be all of one mind. And we see that principle, amen, all through the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 this time, verse 8. Now this is the Apostle Peter. He says, finally, be ye all of one mind. See? Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And now we turn to the apostle to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. And first we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. See, there it is, be of one mind. Live in peace, and if you do that, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And then again, in the book of Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians, in chapter 1, verse 27, Paul writes, he says, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says again, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You see, my friends, it is good for everyone in a church to believe true Bible doctrine and be loyally committed to helping each other spread the gospel. If believers constantly disagree with each other, then they should repent or leave the church, so the church can carry on God's work in peace and unity. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 15, verse 6, he said, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God. See, that's how we glorify God, with being of one mind and of one mouth, in unity and harmony of one spirit. Then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, that ye speak, notice, the same thing, and that there be, now notice, no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. See, everybody in that local church should be on the same page. Amen. They should be of one mind, of one accord, unity, harmony, of one spirit. If you don't have that, the work of the Lord is going to be hindered. Amen. In other words, we're looking at the good mind, type of mind that we should develop as Christians is be all of one mind. See? Amen to that. And then, of course, we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul writes again in Philippians 2, 2, I just read a moment ago, fulfill ye my joy that ye be, here it is, like-minded, having the, here it is again, the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says, be of the same mind, one toward another. You know, we need to have lowly, our mind needs to be lowly and humble. Amen. In fact, Paul told in his farewell speech to the elders or pastors at Ephesus, he gathered them together in Acts chapter 20, and he said to them, he said about his ministry, Paul's ministry was serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Amen. So I've gone a little bit ahead of myself here, because we finished out, we need to be of all of one mind, which is the fifth kind of good mind we should develop. And the sixth one is we need, as Christians, a good type of good mind is lowly or a humble mind. And that was the characteristics of Paul's ministry. He said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind in Acts chapter 20, verse number 19. And then Paul commands us in Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 3, he commands us to, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. See, we're to put others before ourselves. That's pretty hard to do. The flesh doesn't like it. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you can do it. Amen. So then another type of good mind that you and I need to develop as Christians is a lowly and humble mind, a mind that puts others first, that serves the Lord in humility, as Paul, the Apostle Paul, did. Now, let's look at the seventh kind of mind that we need to develop is the mind of Christ. Amen. Is described in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the mind of Christ, described in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, should be in us. As Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who made himself of no reputation. And how did he do that? He took upon himself the form of a servant. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul says to the Corinthians, and he says to you and I, we have the mind of Christ. So we can have the mind. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. And we just need to be yielded to the Spirit. Amen. And not walk in the flesh. To have that mind of Christ. Another type of good mind that you and I need, amen, is a sound mind. A sound mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Notice, we read here in the Word of God, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, sound mind means orthodox, well-founded, self-discipline, clear judgment of issues. Amen. That's what a sound mind, something that's sound, it's sturdy, it's well-founded, it's self-disciplined, amen. That's the kind of mind that you and I need, a sound mind. Not a mind that's going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, amen. Let's move on to the ninth kind of mind that we need to have, which is a ready mind. We need a ready mind, amen. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, says, feed the flock of God willingly, amen, but of a ready mind. Ready means prompt, with preparations completed, quick, willing, able to fulfill duties. Second Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 19. Let's turn to Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 19. And it says, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. See? Again, declaration of your ready mind. Ready means eager, cheerful readiness of mind. We need to have a ready mind. That's another type of good mind that you and I as Christians need to develop. A tenth type of good mind is a renewed mind. A renewed mind. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, so what Paul says, if we have a renewed mind, we will discover God's will for our life. See, as we resist being conformed to this world, but let God's word transform our thinking. You're not going to have a renewed mind, my friend, by spending hours watching the television or watching some garbage on the videos or listening to some garbage on tapes and so forth and so on. Amen. But by letting the Word of God, reading and studying the Word of God, letting the Word of God transform you. We're almost running out of time, so I got to get through the remainder here quickly. Another good mind we need to have is a fervent mind. Titus told Paul that the Corinthians had a fervent mind towards Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. Your fervent mind toward me. We also see Apollos was fervent in spirit, as shown by his preaching. It says, being fervent in the spirit, in Acts chapter 18, verse 25. Fervent means zealous, hot, intense, glowing, on fire for God, boiling hot. And then the last type of good mind we need to develop is a subject mind. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. Now, subject means to place in submission under authority in an orderly fashion. Amen. And the question is, do you submit to government, to your employer, your spouse, your preacher, and your parents? Amen. As we conclude our study today, if we fulfill these 12 conditions, as well as those in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, which is that our moderation in all that we do be known to all men, that we be careful for nothing, praying, thanking God, and requesting God for all our needs, then the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word keep means keep as well with a military guide. How is your mind? Remember this. The heart is a seat and center of desires, feelings, affections, passion, and impulses. The heart is the sphere of God's influence in our life. In our heart, faith springs up, dwells, and works. Christ and the Holy Spirit live in our hearts. Remember, mind means our thoughts, understanding, devices, and concepts. We'll run out of time. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor's study. Till we meet again, my prayer is that God will richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.